Welcome to One to Another with Dr. Pete Pavelic on today's edition of One to Another.
The problem is this: our world today is just the opposite. Our culture today is just the opposite. It tells you the opposite of this. They're going to tell you Pastor Pete's wrong. Don't listen to Pastor Pete. That's not the way it works. They're going to tell you just the opposite, aren't they? Because if you look at our culture and if you look at our world, God is becoming less and less and less, ever on the decrease in our culture and lives, as we are becoming more and more and more, ever on the increase in our culture and our lives.
The Lord says that anyone who desires to follow Him must pick up his or her cross daily and follow Him. Today, Pastor Pete explains that the world tells you to live for yourself. It tells you to make decisions without godly wisdom and whatever will satisfy your ambitions. However, Pastor Pete explains that this is not the desire of the Lord. God desires for every year that you're still here that He would grow and that you would decrease. That's contrary to what the world preaches, but God's wisdom is greater. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Pete or help support this program, go to onetoanotherradio.org. Now let's join Pastor Pete in the book of Proverbs chapter 3 as he continues part 2 of his message, The Secret Sauce.
There are some mountains only God can move. There are some walls you can't get over without God's assistance. And getting to know God in a real way, in a way that acknowledges Him, it's going to get some junk out of your way because God is going to clear a path for you. Proverbs 16 offers this good advice in verse 9. A person's heart plans his way, but the Lord determines his step. You can't do anything without God. I've heard people say, man, I can't get through this without the Lord. Talking about a hard situation in their life, or man, there's no way my marriage is going to survive without the Lord. And that's true. Y'all, I can't go to Walmart without Jesus. Like, there should be nothing in your life that you think, I can do that without God. I don't go out to my garden to water my plants without praying to the Lord. I want Him increasing in my life every single day. I don't want there to be any area of my life where I'm going, you know what, I can do that without You. The Lord determines our steps. There's nothing wrong with planning. There's nothing wrong with saving. But you know what? If you're not getting to know God along the way, you're going to get on the wrong path because He's the one who's directing your steps. So increasing is the first ingredient. When God gets bigger, everything else gets smaller. And that puts us into a position where we have a firm recognition that no matter what we need, no matter what we desire, no matter what we long for, in the end, we understand that only God can do it because He's increasing in our life every day. The second word is the word decreasing. It's the actual opposite of what we just talked about. This verse tells us that we need to be increasing in our knowledge of God and thinking about Him in every area of our life. But this passage also tells us that we have to be decreasing in ourselves. Look at verse 7. And you might say, well, why is this important? Well, because no matter what it is, only God can do it. And if we're not decreasing, if we're not realizing we can't do it, then we're never going to acknowledge that only God can do it. See, when He's increasing and when we're decreasing, that puts us on a path that leads us to a good place. Because we're in effect, when we're decreasing, you know what we're really doing? When we're decreasing our flesh, when we're decreasing our own thoughts, when we're decreasing in our own presumption about how smart we are and how wise we are and how good we are at everything, when we decrease all of that, you know what we're really doing? We're minimizing the damage we do to our lives by trying to run them ourselves. We're just minimizing the damage we would do to ourselves if we kept increasing ourselves. Look at verse 7. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. That means you're decreasing while He's increasing. That's the secret ingredient. While He's getting bigger, you're getting smaller. You're thinking more and more about what is God thinking and less about what am I thinking. And let's be honest, we're good at thinking too much, aren't we? We're good at thinking that we're smarter than God. We're good at thinking we can do it without Him. We're good at being wise in our own eyes. We're good at thinking we've got this all figured out because we've been here before. We've seen this happen before. We talked to our buddy down the road who did it. last year, and so now we think it's going to work for us this year. We're good at thinking. We're good at thinking we have a better handle on things than God does. But that's not us decreasing, that's us increasing. And the verse says that's not going to work. The verse says we got to cut that out. We have to be willing to decrease the amount of trust we place in ourselves and instead increase the amount of trust we're placing in God. There's a verse later in Proverbs 26:12 that says this, "Do you see a person who is wise in his own eyes? There's more hope for a fool than for him." Wise in his own eyes. That's a person who's increasing, not a person who's decreasing. When you look in the mirror, who do you see? That man or that woman staring back at you, who's being described there? Somebody who's wise in their own eyes or somebody who the Lord is increasing in their life? I've seen the face of a fool in my mirror a time or two. I'm not too proud to admit it. And you know what the saddest part is? Most of the time, it was in hindsight when there was nothing left to do to salvage the situation. And every single time, it was because I had increased instead of decreased. See, we have to have the attitude of John the Baptist. We don't talk about a lot about John the Baptist. Man, this guy gets overshadowed so much in Scripture, but what an important role he played in the kingdom of God. And in John chapter 3, verse 30, he says these famous words, and you've all heard them before, and you know them, and maybe you've even memorized this verse. "He must increase, but I must decrease." Sometimes I think we miss the significance of that statement because it's so familiar to us and it's so easy to remember and say and it makes so much sense. But if you read the context of what's happening here in John chapter 2 and 3, what John the Baptist says here is so powerful. You have to understand his ministry is at its peak. He's the man. He's the guy. He's the one the crowds are flocking to. He's the one that's finally hit his stride. He's got momentum. But back up to verse 26, John 3:26, and it says this. Now, this is before John says, this is John's response to this question is, "He must increase, I must decrease." But here's where it all started. So they came to John and they told him, "Rabbi, the one you testified about," that happens to be Jesus, the Son of God, the Messiah, "the one you testified about and who was with you across the Jordan is baptizing, and everyone is going to him." You see, from the perspective of our flesh and from the perspective of his disciples' flesh, probably even the perspective of his own flesh, that's hard news to hear. Everyone is leaving you and going there. Everyone is leaving here and going there. Everyone who was following you is now following him. Everyone who was coming to listen to you is now going to listen to him. That would be hard news to get, wouldn't it? But John's response is perfect. And it's how you know he had the secret sauce in his life, and it's why we admire him. "He must increase, I must decrease." God's presence and power and activity in our lives should be on the increase every day, while our own activity should be decreasing. The more and more I read about the early church and the disciples of Christ, the more and more I understand that this principle was at work in every single one of the lives of the men and women you admire of the Bible. Over time, they became less and less, and God became more and more and more. This was one of the undeniable realities that I experienced on our trip to Greece that we just returned from, walking in the footsteps of Paul. We don't have time today to talk about much of it, but we can see this secret ingredient present in his life as well. As God was ever on the increase and he was ever on the decrease. It was as if with every footstep he took, every path he took to that next city, God got bigger and he got smaller, and the things God did got bigger and bigger and bigger. He was always trying to just stay out of God's way and let God do his thing. I think that's true of everyone we look at and admire. When we see somebody on a spiritual path and we're like, man, they've got it all figured out. What's their secret sauce? Well, I bet you anything, God's increasing every day in their life and they're decreasing every day in their life. The problem is this: our world today is just the opposite. Our culture today is just the opposite. It tells you the opposite of this. They're going to tell you Pastor Pete's wrong. Don't listen to Pastor Pete. That's not the way it works. They're going to tell you just the opposite, aren't they? Because if you look at our culture and if you look at our world, God is becoming less and less and less, ever on the decrease in our culture and lives, as we are becoming more and more and more ever on the increase in our culture and our lives. We just came out of a month where we as a culture celebrated sin for a whole month. That's just one example. We could give thousands. But God is ever on the decrease. They want you to decrease God in every area of your life, in every way in your life. They want to just pull God out of everything. They don't want you to have anything to do with God. If you're going to do it, that needs to be private. You need to do it at your church or at your house. You better not be increasing God anywhere. People are going to look at you funny. And instead, you need to be increasing yourself, increasing your status, increasing your wealth. Get on a path that makes you look good to everybody around you. Keep up with the Joneses. Be increasing. Make sure everybody knows how smart you are. Hang that diploma right in the hall for everybody to see. Brag about yourself. Pump yourself up. God needs to be less. You need to be more. That's what the world will tell you all the time. We keep becoming bigger and bigger and bigger in our own eyes, thinking we're wise and not understanding, not realizing the damage we're doing to ourselves and the world around us because we forget that only God can do it. Whatever it is, only God can do it. And the result of all of that, the result of us increasing and God decreasing, the opposite of what we should be doing, the result of all of that is it puts us on a path that leads us to unpleasant destinations. Because we're increasing and he's decreasing, not the other way around. He must increase, we must decrease. Here's the final secret concept or ingredient of the secret sauce. And we can't miss this one. It would be tempting to stop here. And this one will be equally as hard as the first two. It's summed up with the word rejecting. Rejecting. If our knowledge and love for God is ever on the increase, and if our self-perceived wisdom and love for ourselves is ever on the decrease, then there is going to be a collision that happens. And it's going to mean you're going to have to reject some things in your life, and you're going to have to give some things up. Because if God is increasing and you are decreasing, I promise you that's going to cause some friction in your life. There's no way around it. And if we're going to go on the right path, we're going to have to reject some wrong paths in our life and some wrong ways that we might otherwise be tempted to go in our flesh and our own wisdom. We're going to have to lay some things down so we can walk the path that God has for us. And this isn't easy, but it's so important. This is what verse 7 says, "Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. This will be a healing for your body and strengthening for your bones." He says, "Honor the Lord," verse 9, "with your possessions and with the first produce of your entire harvest. Then your barns will be completely filled and your vats will overflow with new wine." Now, the context here is very specific and it's very valid. We should be honoring the Lord with the first fruits of our labor. We should come into the storehouse with 10%. It's called a tithe in the Bible. We should bring that to the Lord, right? But that means you have to decrease and he has to increase. That means you're going to have to reject some things in your life. That means you're going to have to say no to buying some things or taking on a new payment or many things in your life, right? And that's the bigger principle I want you to see here. I don't want to just focus on tithing. I'm not trying to get y'all to give more money. I don't want you to feel like I'm beating you up here about money. Because there's a bigger concept here that's a part of the secret sauce that goes far beyond money. And that is this. There just is going to come a place, if he's increasing and you're decreasing, where you're going to have to trust the Lord with all your heart. And you're going to have to reject and lay down some things that maybe you've picked up that are slowing you down and weighing you down. He talks here about fearing the Lord and turning away from evil and honoring the Lord with your possessions and the first fruit of your harvest. All of those things require some level of sacrifice, some level of rejecting what you want and giving God what he commands you to give. It means we have to be willing to lay it down. And you're never going to be able to do this in your own human will. You're never going to be able to do this in your own human wisdom. Only God can do it. When he's increasing and you're decreasing, he does this in you. The key to being able to reject evil and having a healthy understanding of what it means to be able to lay things down is really wrapped up in this idea of what the fear of God is. You see, the reason most of us don't fully honor the Lord with our possessions, as is the context of this particular passage, is that we don't really fear God. We don't think there's going to be a consequence for our disobedience in that area of our life, but there is. So we just do what seems right in our own eyes. We're increasing and he's decreasing. It's the opposite of what we should be doing, but it's the reality of what's happening in most of our lives. But if you look at the people of the Hall of Faith, for example, in Hebrews 11, or if you look at the apostles like Peter and Paul and James and John, or if you even look at more modern people that you admire and say, wow, God's really doing great things in their life and they're really walking a path and God is using them, I promise you they all have this in common. They are all willing to reject anything and everything in order to honor and please God. Because they believe what God says is true. They believe that God keeps his word. And they have a very healthy fear of the Lord in their lives. Proverbs 14 says it like this: in the fear of the Lord, one has a strong confidence, and his children have a refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, turning people away from the snares of death. The fear of the Lord. Can you remember a time in your life, probably back in your childhood, when you were faced with a decision to do the right thing or the wrong thing? And you might even look back at this decision now, and it might seem very inconsequential compared to the decisions you make as an adult today. But do you remember a time in your life as a kid when you were thinking, man, I could do this or I could do this, and you chose the right thing just because you feared the consequence from your father or you feared the consequence from your mother? Can you remember a time like that? I can relate to that. I can relate to that. I can remember a lot of times when I was faced with a decision of doing something I really wanted to do and doing something that I really knew I shouldn't do, and I decided not to do it because I knew if I did it, there was going to be a consequence if I was found out. And the fear of my father, the fear of my mother, the fear of the consequence was enough to keep me on the right path. Now, that being said, I don't fear going to my parents' house today. In fact, we're getting together tomorrow evening as a family. I don't fear spending time with my father, riding in the truck with my father. I don't fear being in the same room with my father. It's the same with God. The fear of the Lord doesn't mean you're fearful of the Lord. It means that you have a healthy respect for the consequence that comes with getting off the right path. It means you have a healthy biblical respect and fear because you know that he wants you to do the right thing. God doesn't want you to fear being in his presence. He doesn't want you to fear coming and getting in his word. He doesn't want you to fear spending time with him. He doesn't want you to be scared whenever you hear his voice or he shows up in your life. You notice how many times when Jesus shows up or an angel shows up, what do they say? Don't be afraid. He doesn't want you to be afraid. He doesn't want you to be scared. But understanding that he is all-knowing, all-seeing, all-understanding, that he is everywhere all the time, that there's nothing and nowhere you can hide from him, understanding that he is all powerful, that should put a healthy level of fear in your spirit that says, I'm going to do the right thing. He's going to increase, I'm going to decrease, and that's going to mean I'm going to have to reject some things in my life. And I know what some of y'all are thinking. I know what some people who are listening right now are thinking. Yeah, but God's love. God is so sweet and tender. He just wants to cuddle with me. He doesn't want me to be scared. He's full of love. You're right. He is. But never forget, it was his love that put Jesus on the cross and crushed him. He loves you, but that does not mean he will not discipline you. He loves you so much that he will make the hard decision and let you fall flat on your face. Yeah, his love will pick you up and it'll be there for you, but it doesn't mean there won't be a consequence. Look at verses 11 and 12. Do not despise the Lord's instruction, he says, my son, and do not loathe his discipline, for the Lord disciplines the one he loves. Just as a father disciplines the son in whom he delights. If you think that because God loves you, he won't discipline you, my friend, you are sadly mistaken. God does discipline those he loves, just like you discipline your own children because you love them. You see, understanding God's love brings about a healthy fear in your life because you understand out of love, he'll take you to the woodshed and he'll discipline you so you never forget and you never do it again. And next time you're faced with that decision, you say, you know what? I'm going to reject that nonsense and I'm going to let him increase. I'm going to decrease. I'm going to reject this nonsense and follow him and stay on the right path. Oh, he'll discipline you. See, if you want to have the secret sauce in your life that's going to set you apart, make you different, you're going to have to add these ingredients to your life. There's no way around it. He's got to increase. Increase all things God. Decrease all things you. Reject all things of this world. That's the best way to say it. Increase all things God. Decrease all things you. Reject all things of this world. And never forget that no matter what you're facing, no matter what you're dealing with, and no matter what you need, in the end, only God can do it. Before I close, can I just say that God does love you. He loves you so much that he put his son on the cross for you. And if you have never given your life to him, you should do so today. You should give your life to him. You should call on him as your Lord and Savior. You should be saved this hour, right now. Repent, confess, believe, be saved. And then let him increase while you decrease and watch him work in your life. The secret sauce is good stuff. I pray you sprinkle it all over you this week. Call on Jesus if you haven't.
The message you heard today was just one from a series that's sure to bring you to a place of thinking and processing what you listened to. As Pastor Pete taught through the Bible in a meaningful way, what are some things that you noticed or that you gained like never before? Would you let us know? You can get in touch with Pastor Pete by going to onetoanotherradio.org and selecting the About tab. From there, click on Contact and send him a quick note of what you're learning from the Bible and what God's teaching you from these messages. Another way to connect with One to Another is in our podcast format. Gwen has more on that.
Does your lifestyle work best by listening to teachings through a podcast? It's no wonder, because then you don't have to worry about missing a single episode. Subscribing to the podcast allows you to go back and listen to past shows, as well as listen to a teaching again that really hit you in a personal way. Podcasts are also really easy to share with others, like friends or family, coworkers, or neighborhood acquaintances. There are easy opportunities to share the good news of Jesus with those you're around and for lives to be changed by the truth of God and His Word. So search in your favorite podcast platform and find One to Another Radio. Simply hit the follow or subscribe button and you're good to go. If you'd like to find out more info about the podcast or any other resources available to you, go to onetoanotherradio.org. Here's Phil as he wraps things up for us today.
Thanks for that information, Gwen. We've been excited to see the interest that our listeners have taken in this radio program. If you'd like for us to continue staying on the air, we'd love to have your continued support in prayer as well as in a financial way to further the ministry that's happening. Just go to onetoanotherradio.org to learn more about how to give. And if you're a first-time supporter this month, we'll send you a free gift. That's onetoanotherradio.org and find the Donate tab. If you'd like to get in touch with us over the phone, we'd be happy to talk to you. Our number is 830-769-3733. That number one more time is 830-769-3733. We're looking forward to what Pastor Pete plans to share with us next time as we continue on in this series. Come join us and be encouraged by what God's doing in your heart and life. We'll continue on this path that God's leading us on. Next time on One to Another.